and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
We are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yep, and we are back with another episode. And tonight's episode is titled Death by Traffic. And I have to say, Big Root, didn't think we would be back with the police conversation so soon. We've had several episodes in the past about it. We talked about January 6th. We talked about Blue Lives Matter, or yes, Blue Lives Matter, and how some of the people who said they supported Blue Lives beat them with the Blue Lives Matter flag to show the hypocrisy of that statement. But kind of thought, you know, last couple of weeks we moved on to other topics, and we're hoping to kind of help our listeners to build up their finances. You had a really great episode on financial spring cleaning last week. But here we are again, revisiting the topic of policing in America, police brutality, unjustified shootings, and today's topic, again, death by traffic. And what do you think we should lead our listeners into with death by traffic? That's a very specific title.
Well, basically how a minor traffic infraction can lead to the murder, or I should say the death, because, you know, we don't want to say murder until we have the fact that it is murder, but the death of a motorist. And it tends to happen over and over and over and over again. And too many times it seems to be, you know, a minority, a person of color, that is stopped for a minor infraction, and it escalates into something it doesn't need to.
Exactly. And the most recent incident is of Dante Wright. And again, RIP, it's really sad. Young man, 20 years of age, just given a car by his mother 2 weeks prior, was driving with his girlfriend, and had a traffic stop.
Yeah, and the initial traffic stop, what I heard originally was that, I guess it was an air freshener from the rearview mirror that the cops said was impeding his vision, which, if this is law, it's the law, but we all have air fresheners that I don't think it's impeding my vision, but anyway. But also, there was something to do with, I guess, the registration was expired, or the tags were expired, which I find kind of odd considering that it was a car just purchased 2 weeks earlier. But that's what was said for the, you know, that was the reason for the stop, that and the air freshener.
Right. And maybe the car wasn't just bought, maybe the mother just gave it to him, whatever the scenario was. But like you said, it was a questionable stop in the sense that was his rearview mirror impeded? We don't know. But I mean, like you said, many people have items on their rearview mirror hanging down that doesn't impede their vision. And whether his tags were, you know, and again, you'd almost say, how would you know his tags were out of date or out of status if you didn't actually stop him to see the tags? Because most people don't have that kind of sensory abilities. But the point being, you know, he was driving. It was a minor stop. He wasn't committing any crime. They weren't investigating any serious crime. And yet the situation quickly escalated. And he was shot by a veteran officer of 20 plus years on the force, who did not realize, so she said, that she had her gun in her hand for several seconds before she pulled the trigger, thinking it was a taser.
Yeah, so obviously she doesn't know the difference between the weight and feel of a taser versus a gun.
Right, and also the dominance of a strong hand and weak hand, because apparently the training is that you keep your live firearm on your strong hand, so if you're right-handed, the gun is on the right hand, and the taser is on the opposite hand. So all the training protocols are to make sure you don't confuse the two, which in this case happened and caused his death.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you watch the video, she says taser several times, but somehow, like you said, she uses the gun.
Right. And so there's definitely a lot to unpack in this particular situation. The least of which, or not the least of which, is the fact that this young man is gone for no reason. Like, seriously, that's just beyond. I'm just out driving on a Sunday afternoon, and within minutes, I'm dead. For no reason. No crime. Wasn't a member of the cartel. Wasn't a drug lord. I wasn't a domestic terrorist. I didn't storm the Capitol. I'm not trying to destroy the country. I was driving my girlfriend. The police stopped me. And a few minutes later, I was dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unfortunate because, again, it's a perfect storm where a whole bunch of things add together, make it to a situation where it shouldn't have been. Because evidently he had a bench warrant for, I think it was a marijuana violation, which is hilarious by itself because in almost the whole country now, they're legalizing marijuana in all types of provinces. So that's not considered to be a major crime, or definitely not a violent crime. Two, they sent the notice for his appearance to the wrong email address. So that's why he never appeared, because he never got the notice. So again, how can you respond or go to something that you don't even know about?
Right. And the thing is, independently, any of those things might seem minor. Collectively, those things are horrible because they led to his death. And I think that's really the emphasis for today, for this episode, death by traffic, right? Because regardless of the situation, like you said, there was no violent crime being committed. I wasn't a threat to anyone on the planet Earth at that moment, speaking in the person of Dante, right? And basically, he was literally just driving, right? It should have been a traffic stop, assuming the violations or the perceived, inaccuracies were there, right? But he couldn't see, so you're stopping him, right? You're not supposed to be approaching him with guns drawn. They're not supposed to be in a kind of predisposed manner as if you're engaging a hardened criminal. And I think that's why we have to really, as a society, we have to emphasize separating police actions from traffic violations, right? If I'm driving, if my car's registration is expired, I don't need armed policemen coming to my car. Right. You should raise my rates. And that's why I want to go to some other actions that should be taken. But it should be a civil situation, not a criminal situation. Right. If you tell me I can't drive for 6 months and I have to take the bus. OK. Right. There should be a consequence. But it shouldn't be that armed personnel are approaching me because I violated some traffic violation. My windows are too dark or any of those things. Yet I have armed people coming that can and too often are killing me, killing people that look like us, killing people for minor non-criminal behavior.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, to me, it's like they're fishing. It's a fishing expedition. So we're looking for criminals. So if we just pull cars over, we're going to eventually find somebody that's doing the wrong thing. They got weapons. They got warrants. They got whatever. So they're not even doing it because, in my mind, you were speeding. You were crossing, running red lights or something where it is a violation. No, we're going to fish until we find someone that we can now use to arrest you, especially at the end of my shift and I want my overtime. I got to arrest you so I can make some money.
No, exactly. I mean, like you said, this is one where we talk about, to the point you made about police reform, where this is one we need a major reform because we're just focusing on this particular case. I mean, there's so many cases, as you said, this happens over and over and over and over again. But you have a young man through the calamity of events that you just outlined. Right. A minor marijuana offense, a warning or an apparent sent to the wrong email address. So he never got it. And all these things led to him being killed. Right. Not because he was a murderer, not because he had anybody kidnapped, not because he was a danger to society, because of mistakes. Because even his reaction, you could say, was justified by the fact that he wasn't aware why he was being arrested. I'm not going to justify the fact that he should have reacted the way he did. Right. But again, the point is, why are armed police officers coming into situations that have no criminal weight at all? And that's something as a society. When we talk about police reform, that's a reform we have to start to push, right? There's such a thing as blue-collar crimes and white-collar crimes. And for the most part, white collar crimes, you're not really arrested by police officers. I'm not saying they're not part of the process, but what I'm saying is that you're investigated by independent bodies for the violations you've done that have nothing to do with criminal behavior.
No, no, what you're saying is totally true, because too many times you see this escalates into something it doesn't need to be. Because, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, he died because of his reaction and him trying to get away. But if someone comes to you and tells you you're under arrest, you're like, for what? I'm not a criminal. I don't do crime. You're going to be totally shocked. He is 20 years old. He is a young man. And he probably was like, what the hell? Are you guys really cops? What's going on? I know I didn't violate anything. I don't have guns. Why are you arresting me? And he got nervous. And again, it shouldn't have never escalated to where you're shooting him. I can see if this person was warranted for murder and he's a violent felon and you got to get him off the road before you hurt somebody. You know this is a minor violation and you have your gun out. You know, I understand, you know, I had this discussion with people who I know who are in law enforcement, and they're like, well, a traffic stop is the most dangerous thing to walk into. And it's so dangerous and you're geared up. I understand this, that there's a situation, but I mean, unless you think that everybody is John Wayne Gacy or Ted Bundy, I don't know why your gun is out and you're blowing people away. And it seems that you only seem to blow away certain types of people. Other people can talk back to you, curse you out, drive off, and no shots are fired, you know.
Right. And I think that we've covered that before, where there are times when police restraint is higher than others. And it seems that it's very arbitrary, it's very subjective. And that's part of the problem. But ultimately, like I said, I think as there is some initial initiative, I should say, for police reform, these are some of the conversations that need to be had, because we really have to see why, as we hear sirens in our background, we really have to see why this scenario is perceived as dangerous as it is, because we've all taken for granted it's dangerous, right? And the reality is, and I know we've talked off air, that there are times when those traffic stops do lead to a major arrest. In fact, one happened the other day. Right? So it's not that it serves no purpose, but then we have to weigh the society. Are we okay with innocent people being murdered? Right? And you're right. You know, legally we can't say the word murdered, but emphatically we can, because he was murdered. And why are police officers involved in initially non-criminal activities? Right? I'll give another example real quick. There's a reason why the United States military is not allowed to operate within our borders. And that's because they're a very destructive entity by design. And we save that entity for where we need, which is other battlegrounds. We can question that in a whole nother conversation, whether or not that should or shouldn't be the case, but that is the case. If we have to go to war, we send our armed forces, and they bring a lot of violence and destruction. We do not use them in this country because they bring a lot of force and destruction. And that's the point with policing right now. We have policing and non-criminal activities where they bring a lot of force and destruction, and it's having a very negative impact, as you said, on certain communities.
True. Just to piggyback on your point about the military, in an early episode, I did mention that we need to have rules of engagement, because, again, they shouldn't just be arbitrarily shooting at people they don't like or they perceive as a heightened threat. It should be certain rules they have to follow before they're able to discharge their weapon. And okay. If they do so, should lead to, you know, penalty.
Agreed.
You can't just do this and go unanswered. Oh, sorry, my bad. Because the fact of the matter is, most of us, if we make a mistake, if I'm driving and I don't see the old man walking in the street and I run him over, I'm in trouble. I'm going to jail. I'm not a criminal, but I made an accident and I ran over an innocent old man. That's somebody's father and grandfather and a citizen. I'm going to be held accountable. I can't just say, oh, my bad, sorry.
No, true. No, very, very true. So I think to that point, I guess there are different steps of police reform that could be taken. One of which, like you said, is the rules of engagement where officers are told and trained when and how they are to react, which I do think exists in maybe not a formal capacity that's universal, but in different capacities, but it seems they're not following it, right? Because there was training for her to know not to use her taser, right? She verbally specified that she thought she was using her taser, right? So the point being is that would the rules of engagement work in this situation where, okay, I'm now going to engage my taser, except I have my gun in my hand and that's what I pulled, right? So even if in my mind, I'm doing the right thing. I'm trying to put this person down. But in reality, I have my firearm and I killed this person. So not saying the rules of engagement wouldn't work, not to jump in, but I'm saying, right, even when the rules of engagement don't work, and that's something that you're right, it needs to be implemented along with consequences, should armed officers be utilized in non-criminal activities? And I think that's a question that we have to keep separate from the other ones, right? If I didn't pay my taxes, do you send the police to my house? I don't know. And should you? When should we send police to people's homes or traffic stops?
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Well, as far as traffic stops, who would you send? You're going to send on people to stop cars over violations?
Well, here's the thing. I'm talking about a complete revamp of the system. So the idea is kind of long and complicated. But basically, many things that happen to us in the civil realm are financial. So if our cars and driving records and tickets are all tied to our places of employment, our places of residence. In other words, we're going to be hit financially, right? So there's a serious consequence. Many of us will basically adapt to that. Most of what we do is to avoid negative behaviors, right? So I guess what I'm saying is, instead of things being treated as criminal offenses, should they be start being treated as civil offenses? And by that, I mean very, very, very simply. Let's say you have 5 tickets, you lose your job. Now you have nowhere to live. I ain't saying somebody might say that's punitive, right? But also that would be a mechanism for someone to not get tickets. I gotta drive slower. I can't get another ticket. Why? If I keep getting too many tickets, I'm gonna pay a high civil price that I'm not willing to pay. So it's not that you're getting away with it. It's just that cops are not engaging in high speed chases and they're not waiting to pull people over. What happens is we're self-regulating because we're gonna lose the things we have in our lives that we don't wanna lose.
All right, but that would be assuming that they're going to enforce those things unilaterally across the board, because they could also decide that, well, we want to get rid of all these people out of this area, so we give them all tickets and they all lose their jobs and their homes, and they'll all be, basically on welfare.
Right. Well, the whole point is this, right? I'm not saying how that plan should operate. I'm simply saying I think there is an initiative by certain people to separate policing from traffic violations, right? We understand that we have criminal behavior. That's why we have a civil court system and a criminal court system. So we understand that there are situations where people violate certain rules and laws and actions, and they do pay a price for it. It's just that they're not, the price isn't their life. So in other words, if I have tinted windows, should someone armed be coming to my door? You made a statement earlier that some people in law enforcement said that's the most dangerous situation in the world. And right now that is proving true for the driver. As drivers now, we're in dangerous situations when we drive. Anytime a cop pulls you over, you have to fear that this might be the situation that kills you through no fault of your own. And I understand completely important, but what I'm saying is that as soon as you add the equation, someone is coming to you with a gun, right? There's no dead body. There's nothing. You're not stopping for that reason. Yet you're still approaching me with the threat of deadly force.
See, I understand what you're saying from your point of view, but I guess from society's point of view, then who's going to check the cars to see who has what in the car?
Well, that goes back to why are you checking the car, right? So if you're checking the car, number one, because I have fuzzy a fuzzy thing hanging from my fuzzy dice. I'm saying that we need to come up with a mechanism where armed officers aren't the one doing it. The same way there's an initiative now to have more mental health people involved with mental health calls as opposed to sending police officers for that. I think a similar process needs to be done on the traffic room.
No, I hear you. I don't know if how comfortable somebody unarmed would feel about walking into a car to find out, give them a violation about 50 dice in the window, though.
I don't know how somebody unarmed would feel going up to someone who's in a mental health episode. So, I mean...
Yeah. A lot of times, too, I don't know if I don't work in that field, but I would assume that the first thing their mental health person is going to do is, well, I'm going to call the cops to come with me because I'm not going to this guy's house by myself.
Well, true. But I think what's really coming down to is we're being reactive instead of proactive, right? So the whole point is, are we going to keep in... Because, again, the paradigm is set. Police officers are the ones who enforce law. And that law is a range of not that bad to super bad, right? And we're giving them the power with the badge to make subjective decisions on how bad a situation is. Because in their mind, they're saying this person was a fugitive, right? Going back to Dante, right? And he tried to break free of their grasp and drive away. And he needed to be tased and shot. So verbalizing the situation wasn't enough. So the fact that they made other mistakes that led to the heightened situation is one thing on their end, which was wrong. But now their reactions, we have to put you down, basically. Not with the gun, but with a taser. So a nice Sunday afternoon drive still was going to result in him being tased. For what?
I agree. I agree that that's, to me, above and beyond what needed to be done. I guess the question I would like to ask to the legislature and other officials is, why can't he be allowed to leave? Obviously, he's wrong. And we go to his house and pick him up. Okay. Why would we have to put him down and right. He needs to be tased on the spot in the middle of the street?
Right. And that's part of what I'm saying, because that is their protocol. That is their rules of engagement. You are a fugitive. Because
I'm pretty sure that his mother would much rather have them come and ring the bell. We're here for Dante because of what happened. There's a violation. He ran away and explained to her, as opposed to your son's dead in the street.
Okay, but they're doing what you said. You said there's a rules of engagement, right? They're following the rules of engagement. He tried to flee. We can't flee. So now that goes back to putting it on him. It's his fault. He got in his car and tried to drive away.
Well, my rules of engagement, if you remember, I guess you might not remember, but... if there's no weapon, they have no reason to be shooting him.
Right, but here's the point. He was not complying. So once he's not complying, that allows, and they're mandated to raise it, because he can't get a car and drive away. Right? That's not allowed. They're not going to have a slow speed chase by protocol. They could have let him go, which would have, technically, they'd have been doing the wrong thing based on the rules of engagement. I mean, not about the current rules of engagement. Obviously, you say to change the rules of engagement or reinforce them. So what I'm saying is, right now, it's about police reform, right? But basically, again, if we say, why did Johnny Damon go home, right? Well, he didn't go home. He was arrested. Because he didn't try to escape. He didn't grab the cop's taser and try to tase him or anything like that. So we compare him to Rashard Brooks, and in this case, even Dante Wright. We're now going back to the fact that we're saying, oh, it's your fault. If you just would have listened to what we said, if you just would have sat down, if you just would have been quiet, why are armed people coming to my car? Why are armed people coming to my car?
I agree with you. I think, I'm not sure what state it was. I think it was California that actually outlawed the high-speed chases. They're like, you know what? Let the person get away. We'll get them later. We don't want to drive through urban areas, high-speed. A lot of times that kills and causes more damage than letting the person leave and we know where they live. We'll get them later on, as opposed to chasing them. And then we kill a whole family in the car because we're doing 80 miles an hour, you know, in the side street.
Exactly. And that's the point. Because at that time, that was considered radical. We're going to let criminals get away? And like you said, yeah, because we're doing more damage trying to capture them than trying to reacquire them in the future. So, yes, it does seem radical. It does seem illogical. Why would you let the criminal get away? because we don't want to kill Pfeiffer in the process of trying to capture him. So you're right, it was radical, but they got to the point where we're having too much negative impact with the chase than the criminal. So what I'm saying is, okay, that's an example of a framework where, okay, we have to do something radically different because the outcome is not working. So right now, okay, it's standard for police officers to perform traffic stops. And depending on the nature of the stop, they may have to, you know, I guess, up their response. And we see how it's been leading. We see what happened in the Rashad Brooks case. We see what happened in this particular case. And we see what can happen again if we're going to use Johnny Damon, as we did with the episode, when you do comply. It's just that, like you said, they did so many things wrong. If you want to say Dante Wright did one thing wrong and that cost him his life, and we really can go back to the fact, but why was he even on your radar to begin with? And why, again, from my point of view, why are we sending the military into peaceful neighborhoods to stop nonviolent situations?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
No, I agree with you, because I was a very big proponent of why, you know, they would deploy cops in certain areas. As soon as you turn the corner, every car is getting stopped. Oh, your tint's too dark. Oh, you have your registration is expired. Like, but I'm like, oh, you only do this in certain areas. You don't go to these other more affluent areas and do that. Why? Oh, you like those citizens, and we should be subject to this. They haven't been doing it for a while, but that used to be really a pain in my butt. Whereas every time you would go on a certain block, the cops are waiting there just to stop everybody and basically give tickets.
Exactly. You
know, we make my quota.
And that's part of police reform, because like you said, that should have to be justified as far as why. Like, so why this zip code and not that zip code and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's a lot that needs to be on the table. I think, for this conversation, at least from my perspective, death by traffic, should policing, right? Should police officers, armed police officers, be the primary or the front line in engaging people in nonviolent, I'm not going to say non-dangerous because that depends on the situation, but nonviolent interactions? And right now they are supposed to be. I'm not saying that. Why are they doing it? I'm saying, no, they're supposed to be. And like you said, why aren't there better rules of engagement to prevent some of these situations? And you're right, they're supposed to be, right? Like, in other words, there's no reason why he's dead, including by their standard, right? By their standard, he shouldn't be dead. At worst, he should have been tased, unconscious, and then and taken into custody. But he's not. We're having a conversation because he's not in custody. He's dead. That's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah. If everything had worked out the way that it was supposed to, it probably would have been a non-story, because no one's really going to report that a young man was tased and, you know, arrested and, you know, was bailed up by his parents and later went home. The only reason we heard about it, obviously, is because the worst result happened, which is he died.
Right. So, again, when we're talking about systematic reforms, police reforms, I guess you're right. A lot of things need to be on the table. One of which you said before in the episode was rules of engagement, the way that we actually, that police engage with members of society, right? And we know that there needs to be greater equity, right? People need to be treated. If you're looking for tents, it should be in multiple zip codes. It should be in multiple avenues. It should be in multiple communities where everyone is subject to the same thing. Oh, we don't find them there. Well, go look for them anyway. Because if you're not looking at a certain area, you're never going to find it. So, yeah, I mean, reforms is basically what's coming out of this conversation, or what's needed. Because Dante Wright is just one person, right? RIP again, but he's just one person. But like you said, this happens again and again and again and again. And we keep saying that every situation is a little bit different, but the truth is they're basically the same. They're basically the same. Something minor, some minor traffic situation led to someone being killed. And like you said, that may be by design, right? We use traffic stops to, you know, target certain people. Right. Well, we see that. And those people also want to be getting killed.
I mean, the only thing that I saw that happened, that obviously I'm not happy about any of the situation, but at least the officer was arrested swiftly. It wasn't a week later that, well, maybe we should file charges. They were arrested very quickly. They, I guess, resigned. I don't think they even were fired. They resigned. I think the police commissioner resigned as well. So, I mean, at least we got a quick, you know, quickly charged. I'm not saying, obviously, you wish the whole thing didn't happen, but at least they were, it wasn't something that was drawn out. And, well, we're not sure if we can even charge. I did read a post by Judge Mathis that said, where he is a judge, I think, in Michigan, that charge should have been murder. He said, basically, by her not knowing that it was a gun and not a taser, she basically was not valuing his life. Obviously, it was a mistake, so she says, but that's the disregard for the value of human life. So that charge goes as murder, not manslaughter. She charged with manslaughter.
Gotcha. And I think to the point you made, and again, you're right, it was definitely a rapid response as far as, one, her resigning instead of a long drawn investigation, and two, the charges. I mean, you're right, all that happened within a week of the situation. That being said, there was a lot of political pressure, right? This did happen in the same area of the trial of Derek Chauvin. I'm not going to say the George Floyd trial, because we're...
Yeah, no, no.
No, George Floyd.
You're right, you're right.
No, people saying that. So the Derek Chauvin trial. And there was a lot of political pressure. And I think to the point you're making, it needs to be systematic, where it's not about political pressure. It is about the infraction, right? You did this thing, this is the consequence, right? And of course, there is always going to be some level of investigation and independence in every situation. But the totality is that there was a police shooting, there was no immediate threat, the person wasn't acting violently. So yes, there should be a quick protocol to, like you said, just massacre. This is murder. What do you mean? You shot an unarmed, non-threatening individual. He was trying to drive away. You shot an unarmed, non-threatening individual. And then part of him trying to drive away, as investigation will lead, was the fact that that he wasn't given all of the information prior to that stop, and he did nothing to contribute to his own death. And like you said, that's the point. Because basically, what is qualified immunity? If we accidentally shoot you, that's a part of the job. And like, you know, exactly. We're like, no, but people are dying. Well, yeah, that's a part of our job. Part of your job is to kill people that are not threatening in any situation. Because we're not saying, again, if you're engaged in gun battles, not to use your gun and to legally kill people. We're not saying let violent people harm you or other people. We're saying people are not even engaged in situations are being harmed and killed.
No, exactly. Your job is to protect and serve. So if somebody, like you said, is a non-violent person, there's no reason for them to be dead. And like you said, if it's an accident, you need to be held accountable. Like I said, if me and you have an accident, we're held accountable. We can't just go, oh, my bad, sorry.
Exactly. So, yeah, death by traffic for our listeners. Hopefully we didn't ramble too much. This one is very, well, they're all very sensitive. But this one, as Big Rube just outlined, was a calamity of missteps and minor occasions blown out of proportion that led to this young man being shot for no reason. And where do we go from here?
The one thing I wanted to add, sorry to cut you off, is that I think too many times there is victim shaming. You know, they want to talk about his, you know, or what he was charged for, and he didn't appear. And again, that's not the issue. The issue is a 26-year veteran doesn't know the difference between a gun and a taser. You know, don't try to put it on him as to it's his fault why he's dead. The same reason why, you know, like in the Chauvin trial, oh, yeah, if you don't live a healthy lifestyle, it's your fault that you pass away from someone putting a knee on your neck. So again, they try to to frame these arguments in a way that the person that's being harmed is they're being harmed by their own fault. And it's really crazy.
Well, no, it is crazy. And again, I think there are a lot of other factors at play. So we understand that there's multiple factors at play, including racism. And we did talk about this in a previous episode where we did talk about stereotypes. And the stereotype is that all police officers are heroes, right? That's a stereotype. Not saying there aren't police officers who are heroes and there aren't police officers who are anti-heroes, right? And some are villains. But the point is we live in a world where we view people through stereotypes. So if you're a black male, female, odds are you're a criminal, you're connected to a criminal based on the stereotype, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a police officer, you're a hero based on the stereotype. And remember, when we look at stereotypes, we're not looking at the actual people. We're not looking at the actual situation. We're looking at the stereotype, the narrative. Good guy cop or good girl cop, bad guy criminal, and so on and so forth. And again, I think that's one reason why we don't utilize the military in any situation here. United States of America, because we take that out. So there is no situation where the Army went into West Virginia to do something. No, we don't want the Army ever going to West Virginia to do anything. We don't want to open that door. And that's the reason why I'm saying, are we using the police at this current day and time in the best way across the board? Not just are they doing it right, individuals, but are we as a society using our police in a way that we should use them? Like, in other words, if you're not paying your taxes, should we send the cops to your house? If you are, I'm trying to think of quote-unquote white-collar crimes or crimes that fall more into the civil range, but should we treat them as criminal offense, right? Should police, should SWAT team be involved in,
You're right.
Your imagination, basically. But,
yeah, well, I think he passed away yesterday, but Bernie Madoff, did we send the military to his house or police, or was it, I guess it was the federal, the FBI went there because they're the ones that were investigating what was going on. But right. They didn't send the military to his house to throw tear gas in there to get him out.
Right. And so the projection is that, some offenses are criminal, some offenses are civil. And because a lot of it's left to the subjectivity of the officer, their perception, again, they do tend to, based on stereotypes, view minorities of all stripes. So it's not just blacks, but Latinos and Asians and Native Americans as criminal, as somehow, we have to find out what you did. As opposed to, like you said, there's times when other people commit certain offenses and it's almost like they're innocent until the last straw. And that's where we say, okay, so maybe we shouldn't even put you guys in this situation because you're not handling it right. Just like mental health, right? We don't expect you to be able to handle mental health well. You're not trained for it. Are you trained properly to deal with traffic stops? Is that the most dangerous event in American society? Because some law enforcement officers are saying yes. This is it. This is the most dangerous situation we face. And are we dealing with it the right way? Are we putting police officers in the best possible situation?
No, well said. Well said.
The Brothers, I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are The Brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.